Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Success Stories Saturday for July 15th, 2017. Halfway through the month of July already. Can you believe it? So, as always, I start by sharing my rhino of the day. And today, it is this rhino. It is the second book in Scott Alexander's rhino trilogy, known as Advanced Rhinocerology. Yesterday, I shared Rhinoceros Success, the first and groundbreaking book in the trilogy. This second one is great too, but that first one is a life-changing one. But if you've read that one, and even if you hadn't, got to get your hands on this. Happy birthday wishes go out to Scott Alexander. His birthday was yesterday, so let's just call it his birthday weekend. And we'll say that again. And again, I have a signed copy from the author himself. And again, this is another quick, fun read with big print and fun, big, full-color page photos of fun rhinos in fun situations. This one teaches you how to hang around the right rhinos and not the other types of people that we all tend to hang around by mistake. And look at that, he was pretty prescient here. This is book is probably almost 30 years old, early 80s, I'm guessing. And he said, soon every home in the jungle will have its own computer. There's the rhino on the computer, a bold prediction that came pretty much true. In fact, it's gone beyond that. 1981, first printing October 1981, so 36th printing June 8, 96. So I've had this one for about 21 years, and who knows what printing it's in now. So are you one of the few entrepreneurs that hasn't taken advantage of reading this, changing your life with it? You ought to get this into your library and into your head as soon as you can. I was going to say that Scott didn't even go further in his prediction. Who could have? And said pretty much every pocket now in the nation has a computer in it, because even 10-year-old kids have smartphones these days. Anyway, so I share that because I've been talking about books pretty much all week. My next book, I'm putting the final touches on it, and I interviewed all week and spoke to all kinds of entrepreneurs who share their success stories, which I love to hear, based on the WOW strategy. You can go to stevecypress.com if you're not sure what that's all about. Pretty much means any successful marketing or advertising any small business owner has done is based on the principles and the WOW strategy. And so I'm putting a whole bunch of them into success stories section into my book. And so I'll still leave that open, even though I plan to be done with it by now. But here I am shooting this video. So shoot me an email at steve@stevecypress.com. Comment here, private Facebook message. They've been blowing up all week. I got tons of success stories, but still time to get yours in. And today, because it's Success Story Saturday, I figured why not share the story of the inventor of the printing press, the person responsible for printing the first ever book, the Gutenberg Press, right? And so it's a cautionary tale. I say sort of responsible because I remember from what I read, Gutenberg, I mean, this is over like 500 something years ago, like 15th century stuff. But back then, like writing a book was done through the ages, very simple process. It was a rich person an entity, a government or a church or somebody would hire a writer, a scribe, they called them, and that writer would write a book. That's it. You hire a writer writes a book, kind of like an original oil painting, right? You would have a painter paint a portrait. So that's what it was like. Well, Gutenberg comes along and invents this printing press, and suddenly entrepreneurialism comes into play here, because he's going to need funding. He's going to need to get that business off the ground long before any books are launched. He's got to hire people. He's got to build the machines. He's got to buy ink, paper, the actual type itself. You know, he's got hundreds of thousands of characters they got to set in the type so that they can print the pages, you know, one at a time, I guess, and then load another. I did this way back in junior high school. We set type and printed the pages out, and then you change the type out and another page. I mean, whole process, but you need money for this. And so the cautionary part is, I remember this guy was calling him the first, he wrote something, and he called Gutenberg the very first high-tech entrepreneur. similar to today's high-tech Silicon Valley entrepreneurs that get all this funding, millions, millions, millions of dollars before they ever sell anything, and many of them blow through it all and go kerplunk before they ever sell anything. That's kind of what happened to Gutenberg because of the mistake he made. So here's one of two parts of the cautionary tale. First part is while he accepted funding and he got, you know, what now would be known as a venture capitalist, got an investor to give him some money to get off the ground, but to build that first printing press, basically. But that was a very shrewd investor because he had Gutenberg agree that the collateral for the loan would be the printing press. You can guess what happened because lo and behold, as the process went on, even though he was going to be printing up all kinds of Bibles and had these orders, cautionary mistake number two was he did not collect the money up front. I always teach collect the money up front. I mean, that's what's done. Don't think that if you are going to buy season tickets to a football team or any game or any concert or any event, and what, you don't think you're going to pay until after the event is over? Oh, yeah. As you file out of the stadium, make sure you pay your $20 for your ticket. Like, it doesn't work that way. You buy the ticket months or who knows how far in advance of that event happening, and you got to do the same when you're selling stuff, especially if you're just starting out. You got to say this is pre-launch pricing, whatever, and you know, real estate investment is like this. Builders will do this. They will be putting up, you know, hundreds of homes in a development, and they'll sell out phase one, get that money, and use it to fund the construction of phase two. And then they'll sell phase two and use that money to fund phase three. Or for vertical buildings, they'll sell out the first floor, use that money to fund the second floor, the third floor, and so on, or any sections of buildings. So why wouldn't you do the same? Well, Gutenberg did not. So he needed more money later on to get these Bibles done. He had these orders for a couple hundred Bibles, I think. So he was going to bring in plenty of money, much more than the loan, but he needed more funding, went back to the same investor and was able to hire more people, get more presses, whatever, rent another location with some more presses because he was growing, getting more orders. Problem was, just before these books were ready to be printed and delivered, the lender, the venture capitalist, called in the loan and said, hey, you haven't paid me back and you hadn't paid me any interest and I'm calling in the loan. And oh, look, it says here, if you didn't repay the loan, I own the equipment, delivery of the equipment. He sold the first Bibles and probably who knows what after that, immediately recouped the money from his loan and then some, and Gutenberg is left out in the cold. So two mistakes you don't want to do as an entrepreneur. You do want to be an entrepreneur like Gutenberg, but if he would have not put up the presses itself, the business itself is the collateral for the loan. And then if the business gets off the ground, but for some reason you're stalled. And back then he did some underhanded, I mean, just to, you know, we all got to stay in business. So desperate times, desperate measures call for desperate times call for desperate measures, whatever the saying is. And he was doing like some side jobs, printing some little things on the side, whatever, which was, again, a part of the action of this lender who said, look, it's not like he hasn't been selling stuff. He just hasn't been paying me loan. He's been selling stuff and paying his workers, paying himself. He's putting food on his table, but where's my money? And so court sided with him or whatever, and he was able to take over the company. So number one, don't put up your business as the collateral for a business loan, for crying out loud. Try not to put up any collateral, personal collateral if you can, but you know, give shares of the business instead. What if he would have said to the guy, for that amount of loan, I'll give you 30% of the company, 49%, whatever it is. He would have made money, still been in business. And number two is, whatever I said was number two. Oh, collect the money up front. Don't sit there and say, oh, this is gonna take years to buy all the materials and pay all the people and get all the copy typeset and print these books before I get all these orders before I can get the money. Don't be ridiculous. Get the money. Say you got to pay me in advance and then you'll get the order. I mean, that's world works like that. I booked a flight. Like, what do you think? I booked a flight and until the plane lands in the other city and the stewardess or whatever they call the attendants as you get off, going to say, you know, don't forget your bags, put your pay tray tables up, and as you get off the plane, make sure to swipe your credit card and pay your fare. Doesn't work that way. Like, don't be ridiculous, okay? Don't be charging people only after you've delivered, even if, oh, but Steve, that's the way it's always done in my industry. You don't understand. Well, change it. There was somebody who changed that. That's how it's done in the restaurant industry, but not every restaurant does that. Have you ever been to an all-you-can-eat buffet? You go to a regular sit-down restaurant, right? You eat the whole meal, and then what? Check, please. And then only if you liked everything, you say, okay, I'll pay the bill. But sometimes you're like, you know, that thing came late, and it wasn't the way I wanted. Oh, I'll take that off the bill. You don't pay till after. Somebody put the first all-you-can-eat buffet, and every all-you-can-eat buffet I've been to, and might not look like it now, but back in the day, I mean, when I was doing door-to-door sales for 9 years, we were chewing up probably 5,000-10,000 calories a day. We were eating unbelievable. We'd eat an all-you-can-eat breakfast, and then we'd eat an all-you-can-eat dinner after. Like, we're just eating. And so you pay first. You go to the register first in an all-you-can-eat buffet. You even do in a McDonald's, a fast food place, right? You've got your food, but you haven't eaten it yet, and you pay first. In fact, you usually pay first before you even get the food. I don't do fast food, but I do Subways, which is fast food, and you pay first. Like, you make your order, they put it all together, you go to the register, you pay, and then they're like, oh, here's your meal, it's ready. So put that model into your business. No matter what, it's the way it's done in my industry. You be smarter than Gutenberg was, and you do it different. And you make sure that when people, especially when you're brand new and you need the cash, give them a discount, because it's a pre-startup, ground floor, the charter member, pre-publication, pre-launch discount, do something, but get that cash so you can have that cash flow. Cash for a business is like blood for a human being. That's what they call a cash flow, like blood flow. When the blood stops flowing, pretty sure the living has ended. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but I am a doctor of business. And I can tell you that when the cash stops flowing, that business is done. Okay. Two lessons to learn from Gutenberg, the inventor of the printing press, on what I'll call Book Week here at my Steve Cypress videos. And that's it for today. I'll be back just to check in as always, because I promise I'll do a video every day, but I won't get into any details or business lessons or any of that stuff. It'll just be a Sunday. And I call it Sunday Fun Day because it's just a day of planning, thinking, relaxing. I'll be hanging out at my pool with my beautiful wife, Michelle, whatever we're doing for the day. But I will check in and hope to see you then. And then back again on Monday with Direct Mail Monday. Thanks for being here today, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.